Welcome to the Foxhole. We're here today.
Woo, we are. We're alive.
It's International Women's Day, so I'm pretty jazzed to be recording today. We're recording with somebody that I love dearly and has been in my life for like years now at this point, which is crazy. And I feel like you were like just a little seedling when I met you, and now you're like such a smart little giant powerhouse. It's kind of amazing. We are here with Allie Kehoe, who is a content strategist at a wonderful agency in town. And we are going to talk a little bit about like getting out of your own head and really taking that step to be like a proactive doer. This coaching session sort of came about because Allie was proactive and reached out to us, wanting to sort of talk a little bit through her goals that she's going through right now and the process of how she wants to achieve them. So we thought that was a great idea. We feel like everybody kind of gets in their head sometimes, gets like a little bit of analysis paralysis. So here's Allie.
Hello.
Hey, Case.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah?
I'm excited because I think that this is going to be extra special because normally we do primarily talk about professional development, but I think we're going to get a little bit into some more like personal development stuff, which is like really fun for me.
Yeah, for sure. Everyone. Yeah, I really like your earring.
Thanks. It's one of my favorite things I'll talk about.
Is it Roxbox?
It is.
Yeah. You talked about that too. You know that, right?
Yeah, but that was like 100 years ago, okay. AKA first up.
Still liking Roxbox, though, I see.
Oh my God, I love it.
How long have you been doing
also,
it?
Also, okay, I'm going to have to like post a picture of this bracelet because it's so cool the way that you put it on. I can never wear bracelets because they're always too big for my, or like big for my skinny ass wrist.
You have baby
but
wrists?
But this has like an adjuster. And so I wish that I could show you guys on the podcast. I'm sorry. I'll do a video and I'll like link it to my products highlights.
It's like a little pulley.
So it stays like tight and then I kind of like the little like fringy.
The dangly part.
A little dangle dangle.
Yeah, that's super cute.
It goes very nice with my Sunday Forever bracelets and my Sean Shaw bling on string.
Woohoo!
And my ear.
Yeah, you're looking great today, girl. Do you want to just start with your favorite things?
Oh, yeah. I guess we can just like go
Since
into it.
Rock
so.
Boxing?
Yeah, so Roxbox is pretty much the only subscription thing I do besides Gary Vee Wine Club, which you guys know that I love too. And it's $20 a month and you get 3 new pieces of jewelry, like whenever you want, which is really fun because I feel like I always buy cheap jewelry and then throw it away, which is a waste. And I have these like really cool, I don't know what to call them. They're like beaded embroider
earrings.
Dangly earrings. But they're like a fun springy pink color, and they're like not heavy, so I really like them. And then the bracelet
they're
I just
really
told
cute.
You guys about.
Is that where you had those rose gold tassel earrings?
Uh-huh.
Did you have to return those?
Yeah.
I want those.
Wow. Is Roxbox something that you have to pay for the items on top of it, or it's like 20
no,
bucks
it's
and
just,
you get all of them?
Yep, $20 a month.
Oh, nice.
And like,
but you send them back.
Yeah, and then you send them back.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll keep a set
okay.
for like. I'll keep
it's
a set.
Rental.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But it's nice because then you like, because I don't like to wear the same jewelry over and over again unless it's like rings, basically. Mm. So you get like different stuff. Sometimes I keep sets for like 3 months if they're really good, but you still pay $20 a month no matter like how long you have it. And then like, I'm probably gonna buy this bracelet honestly because it's so great. And then once I buy the bracelet, they'll send me a new rental piece.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's the option to buy if you fall.
Yeah. I've bought like an entire set before because it's been so good.
Okay. What's the price point on the thing?
I think this bracelet is retailed at like 50. I want to say. It's kind of all over the place. I have bought earrings that are like 18 or 20, and then there have been items that I've had that have been like 250 retail.
Oh, wow.
So you get like a good mix of items, and then they just started doing this thing where you can swap one of the pieces before you before they send it to you.
Oh,
nice.
That's
preview.
Really fun, too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. What else is on your list?
Yeah, so Roxbox. I also have like a new favorite song that I really love that I've been playing every day. It's called Good Morning by Max Frost.
Good morning.
You guys should look at that. It's just like a really fun, upbeat song. And then my last one's like a little random, but I like really love watching like drag queen makeup tutorials.
Is that why you're wearing purple eyeshadow?
It's so... No, I'm wearing purple for International Women's Day.
Oh, right.
Oh. But Cosmopolitan just... Coach just hit his head. It's fine. He's
puppies,
fine.
Puppies.
But Cosmopolitan magazine just started a channel called Cosmo Queens, and it's one of the Facebook Watch channels, and it's all like drag queen makeup transformations, and I watch all of them. It's so amazing.
So have you ever watched RuPaul's Drag Race?
No, I haven't.
Okay,
I
just, you need to if you
I like
that.
The like hyper, like the like it's kind of like the oddly satisfying like category on Instagram where like you just like see them transform and like you see the makeup and like their like techniques and all that stuff is just like so fascinating. I love it. Oh, and then one more. We watched Tin Star, which is on Amazon Prime over the weekend, and it was so good. If you liked The True Detective season one, you'll love Tin Star. It's so good.
Isn't it?
What is his name? I can't think of his name. But like really suspenseful. All of the actors are really great.
Oh, I did watch this.
So good.
I love this show. It's weird.
Oh, it's it's like so twisted and weird, and there's like weird in like interpersonal.
It's Tim Roth.
I love Tim Roth.
Yes. It is so fucked up this show.
Okay, I say, is it as dark? Because True Detective season one for me was like just a notch too dark. Like it made me
it's
think
not as
weird
creepy
thoughts.
Dark. It's not as creepy dark. It's just like fucked up.
Okay. Yeah, it's more like. Like interpersonal battle fucked upness.
And Christina Hendricks is in it.
Oh
man,
I love her.
Oh yes, yes. I knew that there was like
Ginger.
She's really good in it. I really liked all of the but it's based in Canada, which was like really interesting.
Beautiful the scenery.
Yeah, but it was really good.
Good.
We watched it in like a weekend.
What?
AKA on Sunday. Oops.
Yeah, so good. So good. That was the day that you were like, I haven't stepped more than 50 times.
Yeah, my step count was like 230. So always the worst. Oh, I was like ready for that.
Okay. Allie, do you have your?
Yes. My favorite thing.
Okay, just a little preface. Allie is sort of like a makeup guru also. Before I worked at Bluemercury, she was my go-to. So there better be some beauty on there. So I'll have to say that.
Yeah. So I was actually nervous cause it's like all product. And then I was like, wait, I should like indicate that I'm a human outside of product, but now I won't.
No, you don't need to.
So my first is actually through you guys. What? Sunday Forever's Coconuts perfume
so good.
Is everything to me. I, actually ordered a candle from the Kitty Rose, which is also excellent.
Doesn't it smell like My Little Pony? You're too young for that.
I'm very young.
Guns pointing at you right now.
But I ordered a candle from them, and they very cleverly have like spritzed the tissue paper package things with.
She's so good.
With their perfume, and I literally like the candle was on the ground, and I was just huffing the tissue paper. And I immediately like DM'd her and was like, please tell me this is a thing I can purchase from you. And I just never had that like visceral of a reaction to a perfume.
So good.
And I've had like many great loves of perfume. So like this is huge. Yeah, it's like a new chapter.
Well, I also like it. It's obviously
we need
summery.
To talk about fragrance because I'm a huge fragrance nut too.
I'm a fragrance like snob. Like not in like that I know so much about it, but I like hate so many. So I've only liked a couple.
Are you somebody who gets like overwhelmed by them? Like do you not like
other people? Okay,
first of
all, studies show that gingers don't have the same reaction to fragrances. They like don't stick to us as much.
Wow.
So I've had a really hard, and then I was like, that's why science.
Yeah, that's so
but
strange.
But I like no fragrance stays on me, so now I just like rub it on my clothes.
Have you tried oils?
So now the Sunday Forever Coconuts does the testers like an oil kind of.
Ooh, okay.
It's not an oil, but it's a little bit like that.
No, the thing she gave us was a oil perfume.
So I love that.
Yeah.
And then also the fragrance I got for my wedding, which is I'll have to Google it because, like, duh, I can't remember things. But it comes with, like, an oil buffer, kind of, where you can put an oil on or not, and it kind of changes it a little bit. So it's kind of fun. It's, like, a little bit of cocktailing.
Yeah, well, you should always put... So I spent 3.5 years doing PR for Victoria's Secret Beauty, and, like, mainly that's fragrance for VS. And you should always put fragrant lotion on underneath the fragrance. Mm. For like staying power too.
Oh yeah.
Like the matching set. Yeah. Or like even
that's like one of those things that like you don't have to buy the same shampoo and conditioner kind of thing, but like buying the fragrant lotion and the fragrance is like Mm-hmm. That's something that you should actually buy the matching thing okay. for.
Oh. All right. Well, Sunday Forever, we need a coconut lotion stat then.
Yeah, it's because... legit. But it's also nice because it is summery, but it's not, like, so beachy.
I haven't even just recovered from how much I love it to think hard enough about, like, what the actual notes are. Like, what I actually get from it. Like, it's, like, fresh and sweet and powdery, which are, like, three things that I really don't love, like, by and large. Like, I go for, like, woody, like, spiced floral notes, by and large. And this isn't that, but I'm addicted to it. Like, I come home and, like, smell it to calm down. It's, like, a whole thing.
Oh, my God. You're going to, like, make Ashley's day.
It's when so she good.
And I also associate perfumes with, like, stages in my life.
Yes,
like,
that's why I always
change.
I'll
wear one perfume for, like, 3 years, mm-hmm. and then I'll be, like, when something big happens, I'll be, like, I formerly, like, release you.
Yes. Yeah. Scented into, memory is, like, so real.
It's a thing.
So. Oh, the one that I got from my wedding, it's Replica.
Replica? Yeah, duh.
So I've got...
Sorry.
I know nothing. But I got Beach Walk, and it's also, like, obviously beachy, but it's not, like, overwhelmingly summery. Like, Bobbi Brown Beach, I, like, have a special place in my heart
right,
for, but it's
straight
up copper tone. Right?
Yeah. Yes.
Gardenia, copper tone, same thing. But, yes, go ahead. Next.
So, wait, did you get this perfume just for your wedding? Were you like, I need a wedding day scent?
Okay, so Casey was what I affectionately call my wedding Sherpa. Because, like, I was, like, on my own, right? My sister's wedding, love you, Kristen, not my ideal. Like... I didn't have anyone to, like, and her wedding was obviously beautiful, and she, like, loves weddings, obviously. She's the wedding planner. I'm like, you can really, really, really tire out friends of talking about your wedding, just FYI. Not so much. Casey was, like, along for the ride. So she was, like, one of her very helpful tips, she was, like, you should get a fragrance just for the wedding, like, for your shower and for your bachelorette, like, your wedding time, so that it always reminds you of that.
So,
yeah.
That's really sweet.
It was a great idea.
Yeah, I'm a fragrance, like, nut nerd. Human.
since I saw you scrolling on it, Byredo makes a hair perfume specifically. Have you had any of this?
No, I haven't been able, like, I'm like waiting to spend money on beauty products. It's been really hard for me. Anyway.
Honestly, if you go in a store, like I've perfected this kind of, if you go in the store and like chum around with people for long enough, they will give you samples.
I know.
Like,
I need to do that more often.
So I went to Byredo in New York a couple months ago and I was like, I'm just going to get a hair perfume because they're like $30. It's like, and so I got Mojave Ghost, which is amazing. And then this is kind of like scammy. But I was,
we love a good hack.
I was talking to this, like I always do this. I used to live by a diptyque in Chicago when I lived in Chicago, and I just went in every day. And so like I got so much free stuff because they I just was like, I'm as passionate about this as like your founder.
Diptyque doesn't do it for me, by the way.
Okay, we'll put a pin in that for later. But I was like, oh yeah, I'm like, I'm getting this as like a gift for my friend who's like hosting me this week. And she's like, oh my God, you're such a good friend. And I was like, thank you. I know. And she just like shoved my bag. She was like, well, you need some things for you. And I was like, yes. So anyway,
do you just have like rooms? At
that's my scam.
That's kind of, because I also do the Blue Mercury like sale whenever they do that, like Thanksgiving sale and you get like all of those samples and that those samples like kind of last me. Anyway, big sample.
Interesting.
Moving right along. My other favorite thing. So I had like a cool kid like Filson side bag for a while for work.
Right.
But then it like wreaked havoc on my back.
Yeah.
And I just like guys. I could feel it all the time. Like one part of my hip would be messed up and my back would be. And it was just a thing. So I was like, it's time for me to like revert back to being 12 and get a backpack.
Yeah.
Anyway. What I realized quickly is that, like, backpacks have become exorbitant in, like, the last 10 years.
Absurd,
they're
yeah.
so expensive.
I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I found one at Everlane for, like, $68 that I'm really obsessed with. It has, like, just enough. For me, it was, like, I need a balance between, like, opening it up and having it just be an open bag and opening it up and having too many opportunities for, like,
to
put things. Like, I needed a balance. Anyway, so it fits that well. There's, like, a cute little front pocket. They have side pockets for, like, a Metro card.
Love that.
And it's, like, nice enough looking where I don't feel like I'm going to the 6th.
It's not a JanSport.
Yes. Yes.
Got you.
So I'm pretty
jazzed. Although I still have my Alabama with my Netrils on it, so.
Nice. Live your brand. Live your life.
Fame boots.
So, yes, backpack life.
Love the backpack.
It's exciting. And then my last one is... this fancy, like, lip balm that I accidentally got super into. It's by Bite Beauty. They have this new, like, line that's, like, this agave
Yes, I have the brand. I have the scrub. I like, love it.
So I didn't get the scrub. I got a sample of it when I went to Sephora because I live off samples.
I love it.
And the scrub is excellent, but I'm just like, I can make a scrub. Like, I'd rather just do like coconut oil and like sugar and like a drop of some oil I have sitting around. But the lip balm itself, it's $18, so it's like more than I should spend on lip balm. Yes, yes. But it's just so smooth and it like makes your lips look so like naturally hydrated.
I remember
like
you were looking at balms when we were at Sephora the other day.
Yes.
So always. You like this better than the fresh sugar?
Yes. I like the fresh. So this is a balm that's like completely like colorless. So there's no tint involved. Right. So when I want like a super natural but hydrated look, I go for that. The fresh ones, I've had a little trouble. They like are a little too slick and they'll like seep outside of my like lines of my lips, which like if I've lined my lips that day with like a nude liner, it's like it's fine, it contains it, but if I'm just, I can't like put that on without looking at the mirror and just go.
Got it.
Which is like very often
I also find them drying.
Oh really?
Yeah, they're not very like hydrating for
me. They don't, it's something you have to like I kind of like keep putting on. Not that one.
I don't like this one actually. You don't? I'm holding the sugar Intensive. Fresh Sugar Advanced Therapy Lip Treatment. I actually find this one drying. I like the little color ones, Color 6, but...
They have really good hues. Like, sometimes I'm a little overwhelmed. Like, they're all just, like...
Yeah.
When you treat it, when I think about it more as, like, a tinted, like a sheer lipstick, I like it, but I don't like it as, like, a moisturizing balm.
Gotcha. Do both of you have lip gloss on right now?
No.
Or just balm?
No, I don't.
Okay, so this is my problem. You both could wear, like, a nude... My lips are literally the same color as my, like, face skin. Skin face. Like, they're just, like, skin color. They're not, like, red at all. So I look like a little ghost. And one time, like, literally somebody was like, oh, did you put foundation on your lips and you're about to put lipstick on? I was like, no, it's just, like, my lip. Not a beauty hack, just my lips.
So what's your, like, solution? Is there something you're always
wearing? I wear that Fresh Element, like, my lip chat. Like, my lip balm, I call it lip chat. Has tint in it, and what I used to do, because I carry Aquaphor literal everywhere with me.
Okay.
The baby puppies.
Sorry, puppies are distracting. They're so cute.
She's a little nugget.
I love you.
I used to put, like, a little bit of lipstick in my Aquaphor and stir it around.
Wow.
So
I
have,
a tinted moisturizer, essentially.
Okay, I'm going to think about this for you.
Okay.
I feel like there are more options there that you could
pursue. I would, like, super tattoo my lips if it would, like, solve it forever.
We're there.
Yeah, we are.
We're like one of those scary older ladies with like a purple, like permanent.
Oh, yeah.
I've also never worn lip liner because I don't know how to.
What?
I feel like I have a weird edge. I'll show you. We'll do a little tutorial.
Okay.
Photos
lip liners
to come.
For all. Even just like a nude one, sometimes like it really defines and it can make your lips look more plump. Like oftentimes I don't even wear a lip liner to like keep pigment inside the lines of my lips. I'll wear it to like highlight, like around the bow a little bit and then a little in like the middle of the bottom lip.
Mm-hmm. I had a lip liner for one day, and Taylor, my best friend, stole it after my wedding, so.
Okay.
Don't even have
So PTSD
it.
About lip liner. We'll revisit that.
I will seek
future,
out some lip
when
help
we're ready.
Moving forward. Lip help will be my goal for this next week. I'll report back. Thank you, Allie, for your suggestion.
Erin, what are your things?
My things. Well, now I've, like, changed my mind 17 times. Where's my list? Okay, a couple things that we're going to say in the beauty thing. I can't remember if I talked about it. Stowaway eyeliner. Have I talked about that yet?
I can't remember, maybe.
Okay, so Stowaway is this, like, very, very fabulous brand.
Stowaway.
It's travel size beauty, and they usually come in sets, so it'll be, like, a liner, a mascara, a palette, and they're just, like, really nice products and like, travel size. But they're
so
actually
genius.
Just, like, right size. Like, you really don't... How often do you really finish
a
thing? So it's, like, very satisfying to finish a product.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love them. I also, they're, it's owned by, International Women's Day, two co-founders, Kristen and Julie, up in New York, and it's just, like, this great brand. They're, like, huge supporters. I work with them in my work that I do with Maeve New York, so I'm obsessed with them, but before I was obsessed with them as humans, I was obsessed with their eyeliner, and it's a color called Spice, so it's, like, perfect for gingers and also other humans, but it's, like, a copper.
Yeah, it's
really I wear it every day. Yum. It's, like, my favorite thing.
Does
it's
it, like,
so
stay?
Good. It's, like, even... So, the girl that did my makeup for my wedding, she was, like, it's not gonna... makeup by Claudine. What is it? Hair and makeup
Hair
by Claudine.
Hair and makeup by Claudine Fay.
She's so good. Claudine Fay. She's one of my favorite things.
She is.
She was, like, well, I usually like to wear, like, really long wear stuff for wedding, and then she put it on, she's like, yeah, this isn't going anywhere. So I gave it to her, and now she uses it.
Stamp of approval.
So good.
I'm always trying to balance with eyeliner. Like, I want it to look, like, natural.
Yeah.
But also not move. And I feel like you either get the kind that looks, like, really cool and jelly that bleeds. Yeah. Or you get, like, paint that never comes off.
It's, like, a good... I'll show it to you. It's, you might notice it more in you, because it's truly, like, the perfect color for me. Okay. Which is, like, hard to do. Because Allie has dark eyes, dark hair. So, like, the copper will probably pop a little bit more on you.
Yeah. I've been using black eyeliner too much. And I'm like, there's a really good moment for, like, brown. Like, it looks more natural. It's, like, a little warmer.
I only wear brown. Black would look really like harsh on you.
Whenever I see, like, a really blonde person or, like, a gingery person with, like, the harshest black eyeliner, I'm just going to be like, girl, get you a navy.
Your eyelashes are blonde. The jig is up. You're fine. I only have navy and brown. Okay, so... my other thing, there's a show on Netflix called Tales by Light.
Oh,
it's a photography show.
Forgetting.
It's so cool. It's kind of like photography meets
like
Planet Chef's Earth.
Hmm.
It's so cool. So it's like these really amazing like documentary. There's like one underwater diver photographer. It's just like a really cool.
Oh, it kind of sounds like Chef's Table too.
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, it's just like such a beautiful show, and the stories are really cool, and it sort of documents. Like, each episode is a different region in the world and a different photographer, so it's, like, really cool.
Yeah, fun.
It's beautiful. And they're pretty short, so it's good for my attention. Okay, my next one is my dog trainer. Her name's Chelsea. She's from On Target Dog Training if you're in the D.C. area. She's, like, changing my life one training session at a time. I never want to be one of those people that just has, like, asshole dogs.
Totally.
Because, like, you love your dog anyway, and you're like, no, it's fine. And then, like, no, everybody hates you. Mm-hmm. So she's done a really good job. And, like, just, like, a little bit of backstory. One time I got a dog trainer with Coach when I first got him. And she was, like, her company was called Let Dogs Be Dogs. Sorry, I'm just going to throw her out there. And I literally paid her $60 an hour for her to tell me, like, okay, if you tell your dog to sit, give him 4 minutes to decide if he's going to sit.
That doesn't sound...
And I was like, okay, yeah, we're going to, like, keep his personality intact.
Yeah.
And then, like, worst dog ever. Now he's good because Chelsea has changed him. But anyway, great dog trainer if anybody's looking for one. It's changing our lives in this household. Is that three? I think that's three.
Yeah.
Okay, there we go.
Okay, so words to live by time. A
little bit of motivation.
Okay, I'll go first. And I actually posted this in my Instagram stories today. So it's see the light in others and treat them like that's all you see.
See the light in others and treat them like that's all you see. That's so nice.
Yeah.
I know. It feels really nice. And I feel like I am trying to incorporate that more. And then I kind of want to add something that sounds like a little bit mean and dark. But here we go. Whatever. If you can't see any light in someone, leave it be.
I just like thought you were gonna have this really nice moment, and then you're like, see the light, but fuck it if you can't.
If you can't, stop wasting your time and just walk away.
Homie, I'm with you. We talked like for a second about like it kind of goes along with like we wanted to talk a little bit at one point about like eliminating negative people from your space and your energy, and like that's just right on target with that, and I'm such a believer in that.
Yeah, so that's, like, really simple and short for, like, my usual spiel, but I think that someone just continually brings you down and you can no longer see light or joy in spending time with them, then it's time for them to go.
Bye.
Next.
I'm with you.
So my words to live by, I've actually been living by for, like, close to 2 years now, and I can get into that a bit later. It's challenge your heart, because it's the only way you can really, like, grow and change. So for me, that's been in, like, two specific ways. So, like, literally challenge your heart. I've had some, like, pretty intense, like, health goals. I've, like, lost a good amount of weight in the past year, and I want to keep going. And so that's been, like, the mantra in terms of, like, in the gym is, like, if you, at least what's been helpful for me, it's, like, you can't just go there and just, like, do your thing if you want to change your body. So a lot of that is, like, running a little bit faster the next week than you did the week before and, like, picking up heavier weights, even though I'm scared I'm going to look like a bodybuilder, even though I'm, like, so far from that. Like, I shouldn't be worried about that yet or whatever. And then it also Challenge Your Heart is also about, like, changing, like, some bad habits I've had, like, personally, like, specifically with relationships. Mm. And I've learned, like, in the past 2 years that, like, a lot of my instincts about relationships aren't good. And that's okay.
Being aware that you're not aware sometimes is, like, super awareful.
Right. Totally. Yeah, circle back right around to aware. But it's just, like, recognizing that and, like, challenging yourself. Like, when there are, like, bad habits I want to, like, engage in or, like, reach out to somebody that I shouldn't be, like, just because it's not the right thing for either of us, is, like, challenge that. And sometimes it feels like that's the hardest thing to do of all. Like, it's, like, you know, like, changing how you eat is okay, it's, like, actionable, like, it's clear, there are, like, outlined goals, like, workout schedule, all of that stuff, but then with your heart piece, it's, like, it can feel just, like, so compulsory, and, like, it just has you, and it's hard, it's been, you know, it's been a journey for me to, like, step outside of my instincts, and, like, really, sorry, I feel like I'm talking really cryptically.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense.
No, it does make sense.
I think if you're aware that you want to make those changes, and that you're, like, actively doing things and being able to, like, call yourself out, that is, like, step A number one, because a lot of humans don't have that capability.
Yeah, totally. So a part of that is, like, I've also been seeing a therapist for a year, which is great. I love her.
Yes.
Dr. Dana. She's my jam. And honestly, most of what we do is, like, I'll come in, like, sit down, like, dump my stuff and just, like, make a proclamation that is, like, dramatic. And she'll spend, like, an hour being like, but is this true?
Right.
And, like, I'll fight her on it. Like, it's just, it's me, like, coming to terms with my own, like, bad habits that I've just, like, really internalized.
Love it.
That was a long answer.
We love long answers.
We do. We like foxholes.
What are your words, Aaron?
So I'm going to change mine because I had one, but I think it might be relevant to our conversation. Okay. Allow yourself the room to change and grow. That's, like, kind of like a life philosophy of mine, and it's become, like, very relevant in some conversations I've been having lately. And that, like, sometimes in relationships, personal relationships of any kind, people like to revert to the past and be like, well, you used to do this, or in the past, which is, like, a natural thing to do. But in order for, like, yourself to change or to develop and grow, or a relationship to develop and grow, you need to, like, seek out people who allow you the room to grow. And you have to allow yourself to do that. Otherwise, like, you're always going to just be like, no, I'm so sadsy, I'm doing nothing about it. So it's been, like, super real in my life. And, like,
reminds me of, like, whenever I go home for the holidays and you, like, are around your family, like, I revert to, like, a 12-year-old Brett.
Oh, totally.
Like, and I feel myself do it. And then I get mad. And I'm like, I'm not this person. I'm an adult. I have a job. I live in a different city. But, like, there are sometimes, like, those limitations. Or even, like, friends from certain parts of your life.
Oh, from points in your life.
That's a good point.
And it's hard for people sometimes to, understand you outside of that context.
But I think that's like, so it's a first step of, like, especially with some of those longer term relationships, is, like, it's okay to change away from people.
Super.
And sometimes you're going to grow into people together, and sometimes you're going to grow away from someone, and that's okay. And, like, it kind of goes back to the keeping it or eliminating negative energy from your life. It's, like, it's okay to let things go sometimes. Let yourself do that.
Because I think some people get caught up with negative relationships because they're like, oh, I've been friends with this person for 15 years, so I can't just, like, not be around them. And that's just, like, not true. That's, like, that's like a lie you're telling yourself, but it's just not true. If that person is taking up time in your life and is making you down on yourself and just, like, you feel crappy when you're around them, get rid of them.
And I mean, it's definitely not easy. But, like, one good example that I have of this is, like, okay, we talk about Taylor a lot. She's my best friend from high school who's just, like, an amazing boss bitch and just, like, runs life in, like, the weirdest way possible. But so we... We met in high school because we came from two different middle schools, and we were both, like, the little reigning redhead, right? And she immediately hated me, so I was like, I'm going to hate you right back. And so we were, like, super competitive when we were, like, bitchy to each other. And then we just decided to be friends one day. And, like, that was, like, water under the bridge. But, like, we were both very, like, Taylor a little bit more than me. Because even I submit to Taylor.
What?
Yes.
Wow, I need to meet this person.
I am not the alpha dog.
Wow.
She's kind of amazing.
I'm excited, scared.
It's the Taylor show. So.
I love her.
She's a little bit of a boss bitch, right? Like, she goes around. She, like, gets her shit done. She's loud. She will yell at people. Like, she gets it done. And so we were talking on the phone, and I was like, why don't you just tailor them? And she was like, oh, I'm not an asshole anymore. And I was like, okay.
Well,
all right. I'll buy that. You're going to have to prove it, but, like, okay. And that was just, it's just, like, one example where, like, you know, she's like, I see that about myself. I didn't like that about myself anymore, and I'm trying really hard to change that. I'm like, okay, I'll let you do that. Where some people, it's like, yes, you are. You're still a brat, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Like, let it go, homies.
Yes, I feel like that's gotten easier for me to do as I've gotten older. Like, something happened after 25, and I was, like, hard pass to, like, people who aren't, like, actively bringing things to my life.
Yeah.
I love that.
In some way.
I love that. I love that.
And I also feel like I'm better at, like spotting my people.
Yeah.
Like, when you have that, like, immediate reaction of, like, I love you. Like,
yes.
I had one conversation, and, like, I know that I love you.
I've been saying this a lot. Like, specifically, I've been saying that person is not my person. But, you know what I mean? It's just, like,
it's just as important to recognize when someone's not your person as it is to recognize that they are.
Yeah. Some people you meet immediately, and you're just, like, I love you so much. Like, let's be friends. And some people, like, you spend some time trying to make it work, and they're just not your people, and that's okay.
Yeah, that's so
I'm not saying you have to, like, hate everybody, but, like, it's okay to, like, not say yes to every invitation to get drinks or whatever. It's just, like, you have to sort of, like, guard your time, especially as we get older, and spend it with the people who it's truly worth spending time with.
Have you ever had, like, an awkward situation where someone is, like, really actively trying to be your friend, and you're just, like, super not interested?
I just, like really wish you did not ask this question right now, because, yeah.
It sounds really rude. Like,
I mean,
oh, God,
I feel
so
like
cool.
Everybody's had that situation before.
I'm, like, actively in that situation right now.
Where they're, like, texting you about, like, drinks, and you're, like, sorry, I'm busy. And, like, you're, like, at what point will they understand that I will always be busy?
Yes.
I've had to have, like, a conversation where with someone where I'm, like, look, I understand that you're at this point in your life right now where you're struggling, but I can no longer sit with you for drinks for 4 hours and hear you complain about your life. So if you're ready to, like, change your behaviors and, like, be a more positive person, call me and I'm there, but I can't do this anymore. Yeah. And this is the end of the road. Mm-hmm. Understand? Right. Understand. Okay.
So that I'm totally...
And I never heard from her again.
Good
not
job.
Kidding.
Good luck to you.
That's, like, one type. I'm in the type where it's, like, this girl's not done anything wrong to me. She's not a bad person. Like, we just don't jive. Mm-hmm. And, like, I like her as a person. She's just not my people. I don't think I would like to, I have such limited time that, like, I'm not going to spend it with somebody that I'm just, like, trying so hard to make, like, fetch happen with. And it's just not going to happen. I think that's okay. Not everybody, especially with a personality like mine. Some people love it. Some people hate it. Super okay with that. It's been my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, not, you don't have to be best friends with everybody.
Yeah. I have this person I see, like, maybe accidentally once every 2 months. And, like, it's now a running joke that they keep trying to hang out with me. And, like, I keep saying no. Like, now we're at this new place of, like, laughing about it publicly. It's very strange. But
and you're like, haha, but still.
Well,
no.
I'm just like, you called me out on it. You're right. Like, we both know what this is. Like, and they're like, I'm not going to stop inviting you. I was like, okay.
It's a different problem.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's a restraining order. That's a different episode. Legal action against weirdos.
Like a lifetime movie waiting to happen.
I like these are very relevant words to live by for our little sesh for today.
What was this? Puzzle pieces fitting together.
It's like it feels like I'm doing a hula dance when I make this. It feels good. Okay. So, Allie here.
Yes.
Who, by the way, I will say is one of the most self-aware people I know. So I'm just, like, glad that this conversation is happening with you right now. Because I do think that for someone to ask these questions, not all people think that way. And they certainly don't think that way out loud. So it's a super, I think a lot of people might not outwardly have these conversations, but I'm sure everybody feels them from time to time. So thank you for bringing
I met Allie like maybe an hour ago, and one of the things I really like about you is that you actually actively have a conversation with yourself out loud.
Which is similar to Casey.
It really is, though. I also do that. Whether it's out loud or via text message with Erin, and she comes back and she's like, I'm glad that you like worked this out yourself
in this space
all the time. Safe space.
Like,
safe
I'll space. Go to a friend thinking, like, I need this friend to tell me something.
Yeah.
And then what I find out is, like, oh, I just needed to say this out loud and, like, walk myself through scenarios.
Exactly.
And, like, before, like, I'll just walk away. I'll be like, thanks. This is great.
This is
bye.
Super helpful.
I do that at work all the time.
Yeah. Well, you're a processor.
Yes. Yes, I am.
But in a good way, which I think is where these questions come from. So how do you want to do this? Do you want to ask these questions, or do you want me to sort of pitch them back to you and bring them up?
Oh, God.
I can ask them. Okay. Because I just, well, one, thank you for having me on, because I've been very inspired by your podcast.
Thank you.
On so many levels. Like, obviously, the professional level, like, it's so interesting to hear about all these people doing this stuff and, like, just how it happened. It's answered so many questions for me that, like, I wanted to ask.
Yay.
And it was great because I didn't have to, like, ask if I could, like, pick someone's brain. It was already there.
Yeah. Online. Episode 4.
Yes. So it's been great in that capacity. And then also it's just gotten me thinking, like, I've changed so much in the past 2 years. And the change I've experienced, like, hasn't even really gotten to, like, my career yet. Like, I've been, you know, just doing things differently in personal relationships and also, like, health and wellness. And I feel like I'm about to be at the place where I'm ready to be like, okay, what does this, like, sort of new me mean for my career? And, like, honing some clarity. So one of the things that has actually been a huge theme and, like, kind of source of anxiety in my life the past, like, year, is this idea that, like, you have to reach, like, certain milestones in life before you can do the next thing. So I think it's just because I'm at that age. I am 29. And I'm at that age where, like, a lot of people, like, are getting married, buying houses, like, having kids. And in a lot of ways, there are these, like, bigger things I've wanted to do, like, in my career that I feel like I can't or shouldn't do, like, before that time. So my question for you was really, like, did you struggle with any of that? Or were there other types of milestones, like, personal development ones?
Okay, well, I think, you know, like, you're going to hear from both of us, fuck that.
Right.
It's, I mean, like, that's the first reaction, because, like, there is no one which way that you're supposed to or should do anything. I think what's interesting from your perspective, because I've come from it, your background is agency, and there's so much structure behind agency that's like, first you're this level, and then you get promoted to this senior level, and then you're a junior, blah, 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 and then you're like, oh, like, there's just so much laddery stuff.
Right.
There's a lot of boxes to fit in and to check off. That's just the structure. It can be wonderful in some ways, but in other ways, it kind of does make you think, like, oh, I have to do this to get there.
Yeah, like, linearly.
And, like, it's just not the case. Like, that might be the case at one office job that you're in, and maybe you have to jump ship or ask around things, but I don't think that there's any one way to do things. And I think that anybody that's at the top of a company has never climbed every single rung of those.
Yes, that's true. Yeah.
So I'm going to take a personal route, because that's what sparked in my brain when you asked this. And for me, I literally did all of that. So, right, I got a boyfriend in college, we got engaged, we got married, like, we did all of the actual steps, we bought a house, and then after all of that, I was like, okay, like, what do I do now in society? What now? Shit. Like, we literally, we've done it all, and it just feels weird, because, and I was honestly lost for, like, a year or two, because I'm like, okay, like, I don't really know what to do now. I feel like I checked all the boxes that I had in my brain as, like, a 15-year-old girl, and now I'm like, ooh. And it's funny, because now we literally kind of have done this, like, weird bell-shaped thing, because we did all of that, then we moved here, and then I started my business, and we moved out of a bigger house into a smaller apartment, and we spend way less money, and it's just, like, basically proof that you don't have to keep going up and up and up to, like, live your life and be successful. So we kind of, like, went backwards in a weird way. And I also think that, like, when you feel the pressure to hit those milestones, you're going to get to a point where you're like, okay, I did them all. What now? And it's just, like, not a way to actually, like, live, like, life successfully, because you're going to have to go through that, like, lost period, I guess, like I did. Because I was just like, okay.
Right. And it's also, like, a little bit keeping up with the Joneses, right? Like,
exactly.
Who cares what the Joneses are doing? I mean, I'm a little bit in that right now, right? I guess I'm not. I got married when I was, what, 30? How old am I? 31?
I'm
32.
You're 32, but you got married when you
got married when I was 31. Chris is 39.
It took Casey to, like, really, like, connect those two.
She, like, has to keep it real for me. She's like, no, you're not. You're not 30 anymore. I'm 30. But, yeah, so he's 8 years older than me, if that math is even correct. And everyone's question, like, the second you get married, and I'm sure it's, like, however old you are, is, like, when are you having kids? And it's, like, you know what? Not yet.
Yeah.
We have a lot of stuff we have to do in our relationship first before that happens.
That's such a dangerous question to ask. What if people are trying so hard?
It's usually ding-dongs that ask you, to be honest.
Like, that is a really personal. I would never, I mean, maybe it's because, like, I'm a woman, and, like, I get asked, like, when are you going to do all the things we expect you to do? Right. But, like.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a weird question to be asked. Yeah. It's usually, like, older people.
Yeah, like, how's your uterus? Right. Anything percolating?
It's feeling super fertile today, I think. Don't know. Haven't tried. Yeah, so I don't... People's expectations are just sort of, like, meh, I don't care. And, like, sometimes I think, like, oh, like, let's do some math if I want, like, 4 kids or whatever. Like, yikes. Mm-hmm. But, like, life changes. Your goals change a little bit. Like, sure, when I was 25, I thought, like, oh, I might have 5 kids or whatever. Yeah. And now I'm like, well, that... will probably suck. So let's dial back those dreams a little bit and change them.
I've been having, like, weird fertility sweats because there have been 2 episodes of the Kardashians in the past, like, year.
Oh, no.
Where one of them is, like, struggling with it. But clearly they aren't because they keep popping out kids. Anyway, okay.
Well, it's also just around us so much. It's just around us so much. Yes. And, like, it's another one of those, like, milestones that's probably, like, in your head that's, like, irrelevant right now.
Right.
Unless you want a baby right now.
Yeah. I have so many friends right now who are like 33 to 36 that are having their first kid.
Mm.
It's just like not a science. A science is happening, people. It's happening.
So... I told Chris he just needs to be a dad before he's 50.
Yeah, that seems reasonable.
We got 11 years.
Yeah. We're good. There you go.
We'll have for a baby.
But I think the pressure of society in like completing things in the right order is such bullshit because even when you do it, there's no happiness at the end of the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
Like
it's inspiring.
Well, so though hitting those milestones before a certain age does not guarantee you happiness at the end of the tunnel is what I meant to say. Right. So you can't put pressure on yourself to like hit those milestones in a certain amount of time because it's just like not an awesome way to live life.
Right. And I mean pros and cons, like I find it actually like not being a super young person to get married, like so many pros to that, mm-hmm. to be honest with you, like mm-hmm. you're more financially stable, you mm-hmm. we could pay for our own wedding, mm-hmm. we, you know, there's just not as much like, I don't know. To me, it's been like more independent that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly, I don't think I real issue with that. I don't know. Like part of your question to us was, do you feel that people feel pressured to reach these certain milestones before they become responsible for their own salary? Which I do think is a really interesting question because I kind of think that women in particular, if there's somebody that strives for those milestones, kind of assumes that somebody else is going to come along someday with a salary,
mm-hmm.
right? And
that would
like
be nice.
That's a dangerous little game to play.
Right.
Wait, what does that even mean? Sorry.
Like the idea that you might like I'll start my business as soon as like I marry someone who is
financially
super tenured and like can be that foundational. And something that I'm actually at this weird point in life where like I'm confusing what I want from relationships from what I want with like economic stability, like what I'm like looking for. And those are dangerous and very different things.
Correct.
Yeah. It's like, I happen to be in a place where I'm like, I think I'm ready for like the next step in a couple of ways.
Right.
And I'm trying not to like cross these paths and end up doing something that I don't want to do.
Well, look, I mean, it's a very real thing. Like just real talk. Chris and I were having this conversation the other day where like, from a financial education standpoint, like if women are not equipping themselves with that knowledge early, we're going to end up in places where we don't have the retirement that we should have, mm-hmm. and we don't have the savings and all that kind of stuff. And like, I was in a place, when I met Chris where I paid off all my debt already. Like I'd already paid off school. I didn't have any credit card debt. Like I was in a good place, but like my savings was pretty small. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, I built that up more and more over the time that I knew Chris, over like 3 years. And then when we decided as a couple, it was okay, now this is the time to go and start Local Grit full time.
Mm-hmm.
That to me was like a very, very, very scary thing because I was like, you know, I was raised in a situation where we didn't have a lot of money. And when my parents got divorced, my mom had like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I just like don't want to be ever in that situation.
Right. Yeah.
Not assuming that like bad things are going to happen, but whatever. And I was like, I don't want to start Local Grit full time because I don't want to financially depend on you.
Mm-hmm.
And like, that was a very like huge fear in my life. And he's like, but I'm here, we're engaged, we're going to get married anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, it was just such like an icky feeling. So with starting Local Grit, basically I stopped saving for now. I started contributing again this month to my retirement, my savings account. Mm-hmm. So it was 7 months of not saving.
Mm-hmm. That's not that long.
It's not that long, but for somebody that's like fiercely independent and like wants to always have like my pot of money if I need it, like if the sky falls or whatever, it was very scary. And so Chris and I were talking about buying a house and like starting to look at houses and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, we were talking about some investments that we've made and like when money will be available and stuff like that. And so my question, I was like, well, okay, so when are we going to be able to buy a house? Right. And Chris is like, okay, so without this, who, and you weren't hitching your wagon to me, when would you, where would you be living right now? And I was sort of like, exactly. I was like, I don't like this question because it feels real.
Yeah.
Which it's true. And I, like the answer would be, would I be in this home that we own? No. Right. I didn't have the money to pay the down payment by myself. Mm-hmm. I would probably be renting, which is okay. Mm-hmm. But it just was like a very real like gut check that's like, you know what I mean? Like, okay, well, here I go contributing my savings again. Literally, I was like, boop, beep, boop, boop,
like, contribute. I don't check in it, babe. I got it loud and clear.
But yeah, I mean, it's like sometimes I guess my roundabout way of saying that is like, could I have started Local Grit on my own? Yes. Would I have? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would have done it right at that time. I probably would have saved a little bit more or had like a little bit more financial security on my own. Mm-hmm. And it was a luxury that I did have Chris to help me. Mm-hmm. With that said, I don't think that there has to, there's no right time.
Right.
You know, I've told you, like, I wanted to have half my salary in my client work, and that's just what worked for me.
Is that number a number you decided, or is that something you had heard from people was, like, the benchmark?
No, that was a number that I, it's a number, so I did, like, how, what do I need to live off of?
Okay.
And to also not change my lifestyle too much.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. So, no, no one had told that to me, and also it's kind of irrelevant just because, like, if a teacher makes half their salary, can they live on that versus like a CEO? Can they make half, you know, that type of thing?
Yeah. Right.
It was just a number that I was comfortable with.
Okay, cool.
My answer is so different.
I know. Different perspective. That's why it's fun.
My husband and I have been, we've been together for 10 years. Mm-hmm. I met him when I was like legit freshly 20 years old. And
fresh 20.
We've shared finances for like 9 years, like complete shared finances. We've leaned on each other in different parts of our life where he didn't have a job and I was the only person who had a job and vice versa. So I feel like when you've been in like invested financially in a relationship, it's like a little bit different when you get down the road. But I'd like to think that if I didn't have him, I still would have gone out and started my own business. I'm very happy making sacrifices. I don't need to buy new clothes. I don't, like, I've gone, like, way down to, like, I used to spend a ton of money on beauty products. I won't buy a beauty product unless it's under $10 now. But I like to think that I would have made like a ton of sacrifices to start my own business, but I am lucky that we, right now we survive completely from my husband's salary. Mostly everything I make goes either back into the business or like I pay myself here and there just a little bit. But because I'm growing, I really want to make sure that I'm like investing back in the business and we're just living like much simpler and smaller than we used to. But yeah, I also think it's just like, you just need to like be upfront with your partner or, you know, like my parents have offered to like invest money in my business. And I've said, you know, like, I don't need it right now, but like, thank you. But if I didn't have my husband, I would have, that would have been somewhere that like I would have went as well.
Right.
But like no one is self-made. So I think it's like really okay. And I think people are a little bit afraid to lean on other people for help in situations like this, where like you might be on your own and want to start your own business. I think it's okay to like lean on other people.
Yeah.
Like, I would have moved back into my parents' house to start my own business.
I love hearing that side of it because I feel like so often, especially if you get into sort of like, you know, like hagiographic like bios of people who've started their own businesses in which it very easily sounds like they just summoned magic out of and you come to find like when you dig down, it's like you come to find it's like, yes, this woman had this amazing idea and then her dad, a hedge fund manager. And you're like, okay, like I ideas that if my hedge manager father, like, you know, like, it's I appreciate hearing about that side of it. Like, the the sort of, like, nitty-gritty.
Yeah, and also remember, like, in my business, in Casey's, photography is expensive, but it's not, like, it's not, like, a brick-and-mortar location where you have so much overhead. And, like, the core of my business, client services, has no overhead for the most part. So, like, you know, I didn't have to go into any serious debt to start my company. It was really just, like, going forward and not screwing it up. It was kind of, like, the main goal. And, like, you know, the pressure then comes from, especially in client services and in booking photography gigs, it's like you could be really great projected for the next 6 months and then you have no idea where you're going to be. So, you know, that's why I go back to, like, when we do mentoring sessions with marketing people or whatever, that's why I'm a huge fan of long contracts. For some stability.
It's really good.
Okay,
so in that vein, like, despite all these factors that go into, like, when you make this big move, that spirit of, like, entrepreneurship is there. And I wanted to get your opinion on, like, do you think that sort of, like, self-starterism is something that's, like, innate? Like, you either have it or you don't. Or do you think it's something people can learn to be?
I think both.
Okay.
I think the two humans that you're looking at have it innately, and it's, like, in our bones. I think it was very much, and I'm speaking on behalf of us just because I know your story and interrupt me, it was the way we were raised, right? Like, value of a dollar really early, super, like, active and spunky moms, like, those types of things. It's just true. Like, that is just, like, part of who you're raised to be. I don't know that, like, if I was raised in a different household, I could be the same. I might be different, right? I do think that if somebody's, like, going back to a conversation we were having earlier where somebody, like, wants to change their lives and it's, like, sort of in an apathetic or doesn't know how to do it, I do think that if somebody puts the work in then, you can change the trajectory of your life for sure.
Yes, that's where I'm at.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. And, like, you're also, like, knowing you, you are a self-starter and you are a motivated human. You've got tenacity. You've got a serious work ethic. So you have the tools. I think this word entrepreneur sucks because it's, like, something that people... Like,
it's a weird word.
It's, like,
right
something
now.
That, like, weird to label people with because people are like, oh, I don't know if I'm an entrepreneur, but I do think I could start a business.
Like, that's what it is.
Okay, so, like, use whatever vernacular you want.
Right.
Plus, it's, like, getting this, like, weird glamorous stamp on it, which is just, like, not real life at all. It's such, like, a weird, it's in a weird place, entrepreneur. But actually, what it actually means, like, by definition, is to create something out of nothing. Which, like, when you think of that, is that's exactly who that person is. Someone who is in a situation and they want to change it and they literally, they just do it. I wish that I had more to say about it, but, like, you literally just have to do it.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're scared or, like, it makes you nervous or you're, like, worried about XYZ. You just have to do it.
And I, well, something that you just made me think of, so everything is pros, cons, right? The fear of security and things and like concrete things really scares somebody. The fear of being stifled and not being able to be your creative human is what scares the shit out of me. Like, I'd rather be on the street creating something or being my own boss than have the comfort and be somebody's slacky. What was it called? Lackey.
Lackey. Slacky is good too, though. Slacky is like a lackey who's not doing that great.
I would be a slacky if I was working in an office right now. But you know what I mean? I feel like you are the same way. Like, I literally saw Casey's body, like, convulsing with the itch to get out because it wasn't, like, she was just so stifled, which was super fun. It's her boss.
Something I've recently discovered, I went to this amazing conference in Nashville that was, like, with this really, like, special group of people. It was, like, the first time in a really long time that I felt like the dumbest person in the room, which was, like, exhilarating. And I found myself, like, high on this feeling. Like, I did not want to leave that room. I had this, like, incredibly, I'm saying this word too much, but, like, incredibly visceral reaction to it. And it got me thinking that, like, while I don't, like, need to be challenged to create, like, creatively, I do need to be challenged intellectually. Mm-hmm. And so that's something that I don't always get with my job. My job is very creative. And while I do work in an agency where there are like a lot of like levels and it's like sort of, you know, these linear right. pathways, I'm lucky that I'm in a spot where I have like flexibility and movement in my role and what I do. Like right. I do a lot of content strategy, but I also do some like product branding and BD. And right. I find that mm-hmm. like keeps it fresh. But, like, I picked up, I was so, like, excited at this conference that, like, on the airport home, I, like, bought, like, a Harvard Business Review and, like, yes. all of these magazines that just, like, push me from, like, an intellectual level.
Right.
Like, all of my strengths finders, by the way, are, like, books. Like, basically, it's literally, it's just, like, just read books. It's, like, it's all you want
to
do.
But
it's
that's
like,
who you, that's such a high right. value thing to you. And I think if yeah. you know that you can't get everything and you can prioritize what your important key factors are to mm-hmm. you, like, you're going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And if you know that that intellectual stimulation is like a huge factor for you,
mm-hmm.
if you suddenly feel like that's slipping at work or in a personal relationship mm-hmm. or whatever,
mm-hmm.
like that's your trigger point, right? Like, okay, this might not, something's got to change.
Yeah. And I think I'm at a point where like I'm getting more comfortable like articulating what those boundaries are.
Right.
Like for so long, I would like see that boundary and then turn inward and be like, no, I'm just too blank, basically. Like, I'm either, like, too selfish or, you know, I'm just too, like, anxiously, like, thought-ridden. Like, I'm just mm-hmm. all over the place. It's just, one like, another thing I'm like, trying to pursue.
Right.
And it's taken me, like, a while to be like, nope, like, that's who I am and, like, these
yeah.
are my limits. And, like, I'm just, no, don't get too excited. Erin's, like, smiling like she's proud of me. But,
I
like,
am proud, yeah.
But it's then the next step for me is like the work of enforcing those boundaries
right.
and like whether that's like saying no to something or mm-hmm. someone or saying yes to something that scares me.
I mean, it's hard everyday work, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's the hardest part right now. It's like, I'm like the diet I can handle, like the working out I can handle, like I, you know, the 9-to-5 I can handle for sure. But it's just, like, contending with myself. That's, like, the biggest.
That's life's biggest struggle, right? Security
yeah, yeah.
is not given. It is earned every single day.
Yeah.
And, like, there's boundaries between insecurity and security. There's also boundaries between security and narcissism,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there are these bands
yeah.
that we go. I mean, I personally, like, I am fiercely protective over who I am just because I do feel like I worked really hard to get to loving myself
mm-hmm.
in a way that I do. And
mm-hmm.
even in, like, very personal relationships of mine, if I feel like somebody is threatening that, I'm like, I am who I am because I choose to be.
Right.
And mm-hmm. I'm not changing myself for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really hard thing to say to anyone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But sometimes, and sometimes it's warranted. Sometimes it's an overreaction, Erin. And sometimes it's real, right?
Yes.
So it's finding those boundaries.
Yes. So I've been, like, ready, I think, for, like, a relationship for a while. I just started, like, capital D dating. Like,
DTR dating?
Yeah. I started, like probably, like, a year ago, I was, like, on the apps, as they say, which was, like, its own. I tortured myself for, like, no reason. Like, once I started, like, dating someone, I met this person in November-ish. It's, like, all of those, like, weird anxieties I was building up, like, went away in my head. But what I'm finding out is that, like, I'm actually, like, much more independent than, like, I thought I was.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
another way I put it in my head is, like, I've been single so long, it's made me feral. Like, I don't know how to, like, be to
you're
another
a wild
person.
Cat.
Yeah. No, and it's been weird. It's, like, this weird new, like, side of me that I'm just, like, allowing to, like, exist and trying to just, like, let breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, there are times when I feel, like, an ask would be made of me, like, and I'll just, like, I'll completely want to shut down and, like, run away and be like, no, like, I already have dinner plans. Like, I'm not, you know, like, and it's
okay.
just weird, dumb things in my head that I'm just, like, playing with, like, okay, well, like, do I really feel that way? Or is this something about something else? Is it, like, a defense?
Well, okay, so as you keep talking, which I respect and love, sometimes you need to let yourself just feel things because
yeah.
you will talk and process and talk and process and rethink and re-talk about it with yourself. Talk about
yeah.
it with me, talk about
that's
it with Katie.
Like,
and you need
yeah.
to go home and you need to feel it.
Yeah.
That's literally what I was going to say is that I think it seems to me like you block yourself off from things more than you think. And I think focusing on like feelings and like when something makes you happy, like feeling it and just like be like, okay, like what am I doing? I feel happy, and just
mm-hmm.
recognizing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you put a lot of pressure on yourself.
Yes.
yeah.
To, like, feel a certain way or, like, be a certain way. And I think, like, do you meditate at all?
Yes. So I have the Headspace app, and it's honestly done, like, wonders.
Great. You should try the Meditation Studio app. It's a little bit more specific. So okay. I feel like Headspace is very good to as, like, an intro to be able to, like, let thoughts kind of pass you by. But the Meditation Studio, like, has, like, specific meditations. So there's one for, like, harnessing your inner power, like, centering.
Being thankful. Focus,
yeah, like, ooh. Focusing. Or there's some that's like calming.
I like them both. They're just different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I like those because I get to like choose.
Yeah.
But try and just like stop and be mindful of what's just happening and not all of the like brain fog.
Yes, I've gotten a little bit better at that. Like,
it's hard. It's not easy.
It's not easy because what I do is like, I map everything out to, like, the end. And then I start having anxiety about things that have not happened, which is, like, what anxiety is, right? It's, right. like, just, like...
My sister does this,
fear
too.
Fear the unknown.
Yeah. And I'll feel moments where I'm just, like, I'm content. Right. And, like, it's... I like, go and look for something to be, like, annoyed about or, like, stressed out about.
Well, you know what, too? Like, I remember... I was 28 when I met Chris. 29. I can't remember. But when you've been dating for a while... It's just, like, a little probably different experience than Casey had, right? Because she's been dating.
I can't even remember.
Right. Like, when was the last time you went on a first date?
Oh, God.
You were 20 years old. Right?
Yeah. God, I don't know. Sorry.
Right. So, like, my point being is that, like, when you've dated as much as probably, like, me and Allie have, right, is, like, you get to a point where, like, it's easy, like, a grass is greener mentality, right? Mm-hmm. And, like, you just have to come to a point where, like, literally nobody's perfect. Mm-hmm. And, like, there's something, but he was perfect for me, and, like, all these things, like, sure, that, whatever. Yeah. But, like, no one's going to check every single box. It's really, it's all based on, like, there's certain people that you won't even go out with, right, if they don't check the logistics boxes, right? Like, has a job, is, like, is stable, like, has it not a killer, right? Like, these are things that, like, we check to even, not like, go out with somebody. But, like, you gotta have the feels to make any progress in, like, an actual dating situation.
Yes. It's been hard for me to balance. Like, when I honestly spent, like, so much time with my therapist just, like, being pissed about dating apps. And it was really, really just me being stressed about, like, what do I bring to the table? Even though, like, now that I feel like I'm on the other side of that, it's like, you're just a person. Like, this is just another person. Right. Like, it's that easy.
Right. Yeah.
It is.
It's all about it.
Yeah.
But, because when you get there, you're like, oh, God, this dope. You know, like, in a loving way. You know, they walk in the room and you're just like, ugh. Like, you're just like a snuffly little idiot.
Yeah, like, what was
I so worked up for? Yes. But it is this balance between, like, okay, what are my, like, needs to haves? And then what am I just, like, leaving open for, like, maybe they're going to be really into, like, kayaking and make me get in a kayak.
Yeah.
I'm considering going kayaking for the first time.
FYI.
You will love like, it. So that's the other thing. I'm just, like, I'm trying to, challenge your heart. Like, I'm just, like, okay, fine. I'll go kayaking.
I think it's also okay, though, like, when you're dating somebody, and I'm sort of, like, because we've talked about this before, it's okay for somebody to not be right for you. And it's okay to, like, have spent time with them, and if they like you more, it's okay to say, like, you're just not right for me. You're a great human. It's like, maybe it's the intellect thing, or maybe it's like whatever your high priorities are and you want it to work, but it's not working. It's okay to also move on.
Yeah. I mean, I can say with, like, all certainty, I have legitimately never doubted that my husband's the right person for me. Never once since we met.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But, like,
he's Australian.
There you go. That accent.
That's like 50% of it. But I do think it's important to recognize, like, that when you don't really want to have doubts. And I'm sure that that's not the only experience that everyone has.
Right.
I'm sure that there are some people who are in great, happy, wonderful, long-term relationships where they have had doubts in the beginning. But
I want to kill Chris half the time, but I would not want to be married.
There are times when I want to set my husband on fire.
Yeah. Wood chipper.
This is turning into a Lifetime movie. I'm really into it. Let's plot something. I'm here for that.
Yeah. I mean, I hate to even say it because it's so not my personality, but, like, when they say, like, when you know, you know. Mm. And, like, I don't know if I had, like, a, it wasn't, like, a pan over the head, like, moment.
Right, moment.
But, like, when Chris and I met, we were, like, together, and we were just never not together. Mm-hmm. Where, yeah. like, I remember before that, it was, like, I was dating actually three other Chris's at the time.
Wow.
Same time.
Very You're confusing. Which Chris?
No, literally. I was like, are you Bachelorette Pretty Chris? Are you dating at Chris? Are you still? Like, it was just, like, very confusing. And I remember, like, one guy, he would, like, literally wait 72 hours every single time. Like, it was just, like, a game to, like,
72?
Like, it was, like, three days to, like, the T, like, after a date to be, like, hey, blah, blah. Like, it was just, like, games or, like, there was always just, like, some power play.
In 72 hours, you had, like, dated four other Chris's. Exactly. Like, that guy is just getting left behind.
You're the last Chris.
Snooze, you lose.
Yes, snooze, you lose.
That's the other thing is that so many people have so many different experiences.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying not to just, like, filter my life through other people's experiences.
Oh, yeah.
That's and, like, arrive at the answer that way.
Yeah, everyone's so different.
For sure. What else you got for us, girl?
God, we went off track there, but that was good.
That's our brand.
Really good. I know.
That's our brand.
How often do you feel, like, truly, like, optimistic? Like, would you say you're, like, a 100% optimist? Like, the glass is always half full to you?
Me? Yeah.
Okay. That's good.
I mean, I definitely have my days where I'm whining and I'm like, everything sucks and I'm blah, blah, blah. But, like, in general, I have a very strong, like, it will work out.
Mm-hmm.
If that's optimism.
Yeah. I have for sure gone through, like, dark periods of my life where I have, like, not been optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
But those never last more than a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's, like, it's kind of, like, one of those weird things that are just, like, really sucky but also, like, beautiful in the end because you know how bad it was and you get out of it. Mm-hmm. So you, like, know that you can get out from underneath something really terrible,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. And then, like, as you come out of those experiences, you become a more and more and more optimistic person.
Mm-hmm.
Even in dark times, I knew that, like, everything would be okay, but mainly because I have really wonderful people around me.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think it's okay to feel like that. I feel like a lot of people feel guilty for, like, feeling sad,
mm-hmm.
or, like, having a hard time.
And I'm the worst person for those people because, like, I'm, like, an assure. No, I'm an assure. And some people just want to be, you know, sad. How some people just want to be sad or some people just want to vent and they don't want, like, somebody to, like, be a fixer.
Yep.
Oh boy, sorry. Like, you literally have to be like, I feel sad right now and that's okay. And then I'm like, okay, let's talk.
Yeah.
Or, like, I'm venting. I'm like, okay.
Yes. As long as you are self-aware enough.
Mouth trapped.
Yeah, but I think it's, and, like, my sister went through a breakup last year and she just tortured herself with feeling guilty about being sad.
Oh.
And I was just like, it's okay to be sad. Like, it's super okay and, like, it's gonna be fine and, like, you'll come out of it. But I think it's okay to be sad as long as it doesn't, like, last forever and you have, like, good people around you and it doesn't, like, affect, like, your, like, most of your day-to-day life. But, I think most of the time I'm optimistic, but I have for sure gone through periods of my life where, it's just, like, dark and hard.
Mm-hmm. I think my optimism comes from, I'm a doer.
Mm-hmm.
This sounds so crazy. I won't be able to say it anyway, though. Like, I've not yet found a situation that I couldn't get myself out of.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that's, like survival. I'm looking.
Well, no, I mean, I've been through, like, some real dark days that, like, the only person that I could have faith in and, like, could believe in or to pull me through is myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, like, we kind of like Casey said, like, the more you can be optimistic through these hard times, like, the more optimistic you get. Like, you just, it's optimism, I guess, to me is, like, self-assurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I act like I'm, like, all alone in this world. I also have, like, a great network of people and, like, a husband and family and stuff. But, like, I don't know. I just have yet to find some, like, dark despair of, like, oh, this is never going to work. And, like, if it's never going to work, then do something about it.
Yeah.
That's kind of, like, my mentality.
Yes. I've, like, achieved... I ask because, like, I feel like half the time, like, I'm definitely optimistic and I feel like the wind is at my back.
Yeah.
And, like, I have, like, the talent and work ethic and, like, wherewithal to, like, get things done. But then in that time that I'm not feeling that way is when I get... I let these insecurities sort of, like, seep into my, like, self-understanding.
Right.
And I feel like it holds me back from opportunities.
Yeah.
In both like my personal and professional lives.
I mean, I would challenge you to see it as an opportunity, right? If something's not, if all these flat, like all these like lights are going off, like this is wrong, this is wrong, this
right.
is wrong.
Yep.
Like, okay, it's a different situation. You know how they say like, if it's everybody else, it must be me. If it's not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Yes.
What am I trying to say?
Use
my words for me. Like, if everybody else sees it,
right,
is it
then
me?
The problem is
kind
you.
Of a
yeah.
thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas like, if there's just these things going on and like, it's time for a change.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to see it as like a, you're doing anything wrong. Like,
mm-hmm.
sometimes it's
yeah.
just, sometimes you have to be uncomfortable for any big, great change to happen.
Oh. Yeah. Yes.
100%. Like, nothing easy or nothing good comes easy.
Right.
Yeah. And
literal.
Like, when I'm talking about like these dark periods of my life, my happiest times are the immediate afters.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just because
your standards are low.
Because, well, no. they're the times that you grow the most because you're constantly like fighting things and changing things. But
right.
like you come up from underneath something that you thought at some point maybe like you wouldn't survive and you
mm-hmm.
did survive, and that's just like a huge boost for yourself. So like, and I definitely get in my own head sometimes too. Like if I have a slow month and I don't get inquiries and all that, I'm like, Aaron's like, I'm like, should I become an Uber driver? Like, what do I do?
Literally.
Like getting so nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But again, just like pushing through those months, and then I get to another month and like three people book me in a week, and it's like, okay, I was like worried about nothing,
yep.
if that makes sense.
Yeah.
But I think the biggest thing for me when I'm feeling like overwhelmed and not optimistic is to just start with one thing, even if the one thing is like making my bed,
mm-hmm.
if that makes sense. Start just like chip away at tiny little tasks that like add up and like don't feel overwhelming when you separate them all.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause like if you're thinking about like, I don't know, like say you want to like buy a house or move, that seems like that's like really overwhelming in like the grand scheme
yes.
of things. But if you take it down to like, okay, I'm going to save $100 a month to put in this, it just feels a lot easier when
mm-hmm.
you start to like chip away at the things, and you can start to feel a little bit more optimistic when you break it down into smaller pieces.
Right.
Yeah. That's something that's held me back is like, I'll have a goal. Like, I would like to be a homeowner one day. I'm not putting a date on when that is because, like, who knows?
Right.
But, like, even the idea – I have two friends who are very into real estate. Like, they're always on Zillow. They're always, like,
yeah.
sending each other weird,
yeah.
like, listings, like, psychos. I'm like, do you know that there's things you can, like, actually buy online? Like,
yeah,
there's,
yeah.
like, fun things to buy. Not, like, make yourself feel bad about, like, the $800,000
yeah.
dilapidated house that you could never afford.
Yeah.
See, but when I get to the point of, like, okay, do the first step. Like, what kind of house would you want and where would you want it? Or, like,
right.
what's your budget? It's, like, I get so afraid of the actual answer
mm-hmm.
that I will stop myself from doing, like, the research.
So I think you're starting with the goal first, which is, like, you should have a goal, right? Like, what house do I want and where is it? But, like, if you're not going to set yourself a practical date and, like, have those, like,
right.
those pragmatics
benchmark
there,
it.
Then you're, like, all you really need to start doing instead of thinking those things is putting money away.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. That's all you need to do. And I mean, the other thing is, like, set a goal.
Yeah.
See what it takes. Like, go meet with a financial advisor and a real estate person and say, like, I would like to have a house by 2020,
mm-hmm.
In the general DC area,
mm-hmm.
What would that take?
Mm-hmm.
And like kind of work backwards from there, because those are very daunting things. Like homeownership
yeah. mm-hmm.
ain't a joke. And also like doing it alone,
mm-hmm.
like there's going to have to be sacrifices,
right?
Yeah. right? Like you're not going to be probably on 14th Street in a single family home, right?
Right.
Unless
no.
you're locking away
unless something,
serious cash,
yeah,
I don't
unless
know.
Something changes.
In which case, I'll move in with you. But you know what I mean? Like, you're
yes.
probably going to be in a suburb and
right.
like that kind of thing.
Yes. And my fear is always, like, this feels like kind of like embarrassing to admit, but like, my fear with goals is like, I'm too afraid to name it. Because if I didn't achieve that, like, I will rip myself in half. Like, the success I have had,
mm-hmm.
like, I feel like I've just been like, okay, like, I'm smart, I can work hard, I just want to put those ingredients in a bowl and see what comes out. And I feel like there's more I could be doing if I just applied, like, the next step of, like,
okay, or what if you meet those goals, and how baller amazing would that feel?
Right, no, and that's what I need to...
You're probably going to have some sort of side-out branch, you know, like, you're right. probably going to have some offshoot of that goal
yeah.
that landed you where you were supposed to be anyway.
Right, yeah. Or I'll learn something new and the goal changes, and, like, that's Correct. Good, too. But I get nervous about saying, like, you know, with the weight loss, it's been, like, a number. Like, is there mm-hmm. a number I want to achieve by a certain date? I struggle with that, because right. on one hand, it's, like, this stuff is, like, up and down, and sometimes you're going to have days and weeks that things didn't right. go super right, and it's, like... I don't want to, like, mm-hmm. I'm so afraid of, like, that guilt of not reaching that goal. Mm-hmm. But it's also, like, I need a benchmark if I'm going to make progress. I can't just be doing
benchmark,
things.
Benchmark, but you also have to understand that you can only control what you can control.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like, just taking, like, weight loss, for example, like, you can't control your hormones. You can't mm-hmm. control if there's a snowstorm and you can't get up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's just so much. You got to be able to give yourself some leniency. Mm-hmm. Like, keep your goals. Like, stick to it. But also mm-hmm. allow yourself, like, some flexibility.
Yeah. I also, you know? I'm a little bit similar. So, but the way that I do this is, like, when I set a goal, I actually use the fear of, like, guilt of missing the goal mm-hmm. as, like, fuel and motivation mm-hmm. to...
Like a good Catholic girl.
to, like, push myself because, like I signed up for a half marathon and I was, like, Ooh. I did the half in November and I signed up in August and I was, like, I'm going to feel so shitty about myself if I don't put in this training time. Mm-hmm. And I knew that I would feel... so much better at the finish line, literally, if I put the work in and did it, than if I didn't put the work in and sucked. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, right. what do I want to be at the finish line? Do I want to be happy or feel like shit? Mm-hmm. And so I basically just used that, like, fear of guilt as, like, mm-hmm. motivation to push myself further. Yeah, because, like, I'm somebody who, like, I cannot live with any regret. It's like,
right.
I would much rather do something and fall on my freaking face than not do it at all mm-hmm. because, like, regret sits in my brain forever. It never mm-hmm. goes away. So I would much rather, like in college, I used to ask guys out all the time because it would literally...
Keep the dating machine.
And, like, and I'm not going to lie, way more said no than said yes. But I was like, I feel so much better that I just asked.
Wow.
Get it, girl.
Yeah.
I don't have those kind of balls.
It's not even... I wish I could say that it was, like, balls. It's not. The like, my fear of regret is so huge that will weigh on me, what, like, much more than a guy saying, no, he doesn't want to go out with me. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the better scenario out of the two for me.
You know what, too, though? I mean, Casey's a very, very self-confident person, deservingly so, and, like, very self-assured, which is great. I feel like I've gotten to a point where I've been more confident in mm-hmm. setting goals mm-hmm. as I've really narrowed in on the network I put around myself.
Mm.
Because, like, even if and when I fall flat on my face, I'm not dealing with, like, people that I care whose judgment it is. Like,
right.
the people around me that I care about their opinions, they're going to be like, you tried, good job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's changed a lot mm-hmm. for me because that was not the case.
Mm-hmm.
The peoples are so important.
The humans. And the dogs. Dogs help. Get
dogs
a dog.
Do help. Look at that little peppy angel sleeping.
Excuse the dog shake. What else you got?
I think that, like, covers a lot of...
How often do you feel intimidated, daunted?
Oh, God.
Every...
Is it always? Good. Okay, it's so good.
Just, like, waves of anxiety will come over that you're just like, holy shit, what if this whole thing just crashes and burns?
Yeah.
But then, like, the optimism, you're like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, but there are definitely, like, panic moments, like, wake up straight in the middle of the night where you're like, okay, it's gonna be okay.
Yep.
Yeah. And I also think that, especially with, like, our businesses, it's just us, so it's not like we have, like, employees to worry about if, mm-hmm. like, things went mm-hmm. down the gutter. But for me, like, the actual worst case scenario is that I have to go get another job, which to me it's pretty bad, but it's also like I'm not homeless, like I'm dying, like that's the worst case scenario, and it's like I would do it, mm-hmm. save money and quit, but like whatever, but I would do it. That's right. The worst case.
Yeah, I mean you've got, Miss Allie, all of the tools it takes to do literally anything you want.
Trying to weaponize them.
Well, I think it's just taking, I think goal setting might be a huge key for you and
mm-hmm.
being able to say, okay, what's the first tiny step to this
mm-hmm.
big goal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's scary, which I think doing scary things is good for everybody.
So good.
Might make you uncomfortable, which also mm-hmm. is good.
And I'm, like, deeply uncomfortable with, like, discomfort. Like,
I love
knowing my area and, like, knowing my things. Yeah, yeah,
that's
because...
That's a comfort zone, and that's so super human and natural.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've discovered, like, recently that it's because when I put myself in those situations, like, I don't know who I'm going to be. Like, right. I know who I am in, like, my places that I know. Right. Whether that's, like... my work life or like my friend life, right. Like I just here's my, and I like being the confident, I like knowing right. all the words, like
yeah.
but when I go outside this weekend in
yes.
Nashville,
oh my god, yes, totally yes, intimidated in like the best way,
right.
Like I would just like fell in love with like the energy in this room,
right.
And so now I'm thinking of like how can I recreate this, like how can I duplicate it or be more of a part of it and like introduce that into
right.
You know.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's super, again, self-aware of you. I actually hate love putting myself in situations where I feel insecure, because it sort of gives me like a gut check of like, okay, why am I feeling insecure? What is it about? Only you can make yourself feel insecure, right? Like when you think people are judging you, it's like generally 0% of the people care anything about
also,
you.
Just, like,
yeah.
Also, just doesn't actually matter.
Right.
It doesn't make you less able to do literally anything.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I come to the table in places I've actually gotten like a lot shyer over time. I know it's hard to believe.
What?
I've gotten a lot shyer. I've gotten a lot more like social anxiety is like a large term for it. But like I'll go to like networking events or something and I feel a lot less like, oh, this room is mine.
Yeah.
There was a time at which I was very much like, look, it's the Erin Show.
Yeah.
And here we are on the Erin Show. But it's just, like, it's irrelevant, and, like, I have to figure out, like, what is it about, is it because, like, I don't have a corporate name behind me anymore, and that I'm, like, okay, now I'm just, like, only representing myself, and that's a little bit scarier, like, there's definite moments where, like, I like to throw myself into the ring and be, like, okay, gut check, like, where's this coming from?
Yeah.
Because it's the only way you can grow.
Networking events are such a tough one. I mean, they're so good, but, like, normally my strategy is to meet 2 to 3 people and then get coffee with them separately because I'm a much better human in a small group, one-on-one, or, like, maybe 3 people, 4 people is a little bit much for me to, like, actually genuinely connect with somebody. But when I would network, like, in New York City when I was, like, growing my network right out of college, I would just, like, go and be, like, okay, like, all you have to do is, like, go and say, hi, I'm Casey, and get 3 business cards, and then take them out for coffee next week. And I would literally go in, do that, and leave. Because, like, the mingling with, like, strangers would just give me, like, so much anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, it's very easy for me to connect with somebody one-on-one.
Mm-hmm. I find myself in networking events accidentally, like, going into, like, just, like, entertainer mode. Like, I'm hosting.
Same. I was literally just going to say that. And then, like, what meaningful connections are we making?
Yes. And then, or I just completely forget what I do. Like, I forget to offer.
I'm like, I'm your mom.
Myself.
Would you like some cookies?
Yes. No,
is that
totally.
What you need? I'll do it.
Like, sometimes I wish I had, like, a stronger, like, connector vibe of, like, wow, you should meet this person. That perfectly lines up with this that you need. It's like, in these moments, like, I'm just, like, weirdly, I'm just, like, entertaining. Like, I'm just, and
dude,
I'm just,
same.
Like, I need to.
Are you, is
woo.
Woo one? Is Woo one of your.
No, I'm, like, I'm harmony and empathy. So, like, they're neighbors, but it's not as specifically winning people over. No, but harmony can be, like, dark, too. Like, harmony is the reason... Sorry, we're talking about StrengthsFinder again.
Yeah.
And one of them is called harmony. And it's really, like, I can't feel good about a situation until I create goodwill. So that means that, like, I like getting to know people and, like, finding their light. But it also means that, like, I don't necessarily give a shit about them later. So it's, like, it feels like this, like, very, like, dark light sort of approach.
Because you want it to all be...
Yeah, I'm, like, I'm making this work. Like, I've had people, like, tell me, like, wow, you get along with that really difficult person. Like, that's amazing that you've, like, found something to like about them. And I'll be, like, oh, I don't give a shit. Like, no, I don't care about them all, but I have to work with them or I have to live with them.
Yeah.
So I, like, just make it work.
That's, like, a good self-preservation.
Yeah.
Kind of
that is that's a good skill because I definitely cannot do that. If I don't like somebody, like, we done forever.
I'm like, we should just go.
But I wish it were more obvious when I didn't like somebody because I would, like, make my life easier. Like, I should just be okay being, like, not you. Next.
I know, but I mean, kind of, like, in your personal life, yes, but, like, it's a good business tool to have to be able to, like, harmonize in a group situation where you can play nice in the sandbox.
Yeah. Yes,
it's
for
like,
sure.
Unfortunately, life is not all, like, YOLO and you do you. Like, to a big extent, personally, yes. There are times when you have to, like, turn it on.
Right.
And Yeah, I'm with you on that networking thing. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just like, oh my god, like that. I'm not even. I just walked in this room and I'm like, hosting.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
Are you having fun? Let me show you some fun.
Or you like what I found is that like the networking events that are specifically and like not specific. It's just like networking in DC.
So
it's like you find a bunch of like really strange people trying to like hawk things on you.
The networking scene in DC is like obviously very different from New York, but it's like very weird.
Yeah,
it's a lot. Well, because I think we've gotten better at doing more, like, industry-specific stuff. So
yes,
it's like,
yeah.
you know, a wedding photographer is not talking to a government contractor.
Right.
Which is the way it used to be. And you're like, oh, my God, this is just very irrelevant.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's gotten better. But, yeah, I mean, finding those things that make you uncomfortable and, like, jumping into them is, like, a very bold and, like, good gut check thing to do.
Mm-hmm. It's just a good exercise to, like, get out there and do things, like, even if they are, like, small, scary things, to just, like, go and do them and feel, like, conquered so that you can just, like, keep making those uncomfortable goals bigger and bigger.
Yeah, totally. Like, a year ago, going to, like, any exercise class was, like, oh, my God, I have to have, like, at least five friends with me so I don't... And now, like, I'll be, like, I would go naked. I don't care. Those people don't care. They don't know me.
It's such a great,
like I don't care. And it feels good to, like, something that makes me feel better is, like, looking at all the challenges in my rear view. Like, things I have done.
Oh, so definitely. I mean, your accomplishment.
To be, like...
Your accomplishments.
Ask, then what's, like, the next thing you're going to get over?
Right.
That's how I view my journey.
Yeah. How can I run past this as quickly as possible?
Yeah.
That's okay.
Getting over.
Yeah, but those things are good to keep in mind, especially when you face current challenges. Like, to remind yourself that you've been in a similar spot and you've, like... gone above and beyond that.
I'm so glad you're here.
Yeah, thanks you guys. This is just like the lady talk I needed.
Yeah.
International
tip of the
Women's
iceberg.
Day.
We'll have to have you as a recurring guest and check in on some of these goals.
Yeah, I'll keep you guys updated.
Exactly.
I'll be like married and a CEO by the next time you talk to me. So.
Woo-hoo. Well, Allie found us not only because I know her and love her. She reached out to us by a DM on Instagram with you know, when we put a call out for either coaching or mentoring. So if anybody else is interested, we are taking, we're having conversations with people to see if you're right for the podcast.
Yeah.
Send us a message, shoot us an email. We'd love to talk to you.
Yeah, and we'll soon have a special page that you can submit through our website for future coaching sessions.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much. Bye. Love your face. Bye.
As always, guys, if you loved this episode, please give us a rating and review on the iTunes. And yeah, we love you. Bye.
Love you. Bye.